a plot, a nephew, and escape.
Grab your Bible and let's talk.
Welcome to the Bible Glitter and Glue podcast, where Bible study and thought-provoking conversation lead to creative teaching. Now, here are your hosts, David and Mary Nelson.
Welcome to another episode of Bible Glitter and Glue. I'm Mary, and across from me is David.
Hello.
And we are opening our Bibles here today and looking at another event in the book of Acts. Whether you're teaching this week or just want to know a little bit more about Scripture, I hope you'll enjoy joining us. David, I really enjoy the thought in this story of the Apostle Paul having a family. We don't think of him in that way. He doesn't mention his family, but today we're going to hear about a nephew, and if there's a nephew, there must have been a brother or a sister. So that's a neat thought to think of Paul.
It is, Mary. In fact, our conversation today is from Acts chapter 22, verse 30, through chapter 23, verse 35. The story begins right in the middle of another story. Chapter 22, verse 30 says, "The next day, the commander decided to learn why the Jews were accusing Paul." So this is in the middle of a story earlier in chapter 22. The Jews got angry with Paul because they thought he had brought an unclean person, an unclean Gentile, into the temple. And so anyway, that was almost a riot. The Romans came in to rescue Paul, to save him from death.
Save him from death, but maybe even more underlying than that, just to keep peace, because for the Jews to be in an uproar, that was a bad thing under the command of the Romans. And so the commander in this story, he has a real interest in making sure these disagreements don't get out of hand and cause some sort of public disturbance.
That's right. So he wants to get to the bottom of what's going on here. He doesn't know. He's not a Jew, so he doesn't really know what's going on. So he orders the leading priests in the Jewish council to meet and find out exactly why everyone is so upset.
And up to this time, Paul had been in custody, and they didn't quite know what to do with him because he was a Roman citizen. And so when the commander takes him before this group, he actually unchains Paul. He gives him a place to explain himself.
Paul is standing before this very intimidating group of men, the Sanhedrin. Says the high priest is there. Paul begins his defense by saying, "I've been a good Jew all my life. I have lived all my life trying to please God."
Right away, that causes upset, doesn't it? Because the leader just is infuriated by the thought of this man saying he's lived a good life.
So the high priest orders Paul to be slapped in the face, which is a humiliating act. And very quickly, Paul says, "God will hit you too." So Paul lashes back. He's told that this is the high priest. You can't speak bad to the high priest. And Paul says, "I'm sorry. I apologize. I didn't know it was the high priest." And so Paul demonstrated right there that he is a follower of the law, because the law says you cannot speak evil of your leaders. This high priest, Ananias, is a very interesting person. We learn from history that he was not a nice person at all. He was high priest from 47 to 59 AD. He could be greedy, and he could be ruthlessly violent as well. In fact, the Jewish historian Josephus tells us that he would have his servants go to the threshing floors to seize the tithes, the monies that people brought to help the priest, to grab those so the priest would end up with nothing. He was not a very likable, a very good person. So that gives you a little bit of background about this person that Paul is standing before.
Well, in this conversation, here's this meeting that was called by the Roman government. You know, it begins as a meeting, but things escalate very quickly as Paul defends himself. And Paul himself causes a little bit of a stir when he makes a comment about Pharisees and Sadducees. So even the group itself begins to be in disagreement, and it moves from a meeting to an argument all the way to a fight.
So once again, Paul's life is in danger, so the Roman commander has to intervene to rescue Paul again.
Right. It says here that things had escalated so much that he thought Paul was going to be torn to pieces. This is a very intense situation. Paul leaves that, and he's taken back to the barracks. And here he is. He's just met with the Jews. God never meant for the Jews to be the enemy, but that's what's happened in Paul's life. These Jews are very angry at him. So he's just faced the Jews. He's in the barracks, all these Roman soldiers around him. And yes, he's a Roman citizen, but he's under arrest. So things are not great. You just think, what state of mind did Paul find himself in? He must have been afraid. I'm imagining concerned with what might happen next. He's followed the Spirit and come to Jerusalem, even though everyone said there's danger there. Well, danger has happened. He's in trouble. He's alone at night, but something very important happens.
Verse 11 is a very important verse in all of this. I can imagine Paul being shaken up at the events of the day. But in the night, Jesus came and stood by Paul, and he tells Paul to be brave. You've told people about me in Jerusalem, and you're going to be going to Rome to do the same, to tell people about me in Rome. And that's where Paul wanted to go.
Yeah, verse 11, you know, a few words, but describing a visit by Jesus. I just can't imagine what I would write if Jesus visited me one night and stood beside me and comforted me. I can't imagine just writing so few words, but what a punch in those few words. This idea of be brave that we use the International Children's Bible in these podcasts, be brave, you know, other versions, David, I think the King James is be of good cheer. I thought that was maybe a little light. Other versions, don't worry, keep up your courage, be encouraged. The Message version actually says, it's going to be all right. Everything is going to turn out for the best. Whatever the exact words that Jesus said to Paul, it helped him face these next steps. From then on, things will be different. We will read about Paul in a different context from now on in the book of Acts.
Yeah, that's right. Paul comes across as a very human figure. I mean, he knows that when he went to Jerusalem, that trouble lay ahead. The Spirit told him that. He was willing to go still. He says, I'm willing to die for Jesus. But even that, he still needs encouragement. He still needs Jesus to be there with him, to help him get through this. That's encouraging to me. We may have great faith, we may have deep convictions, but we're still human, and we still need people around us to encourage us, to tell us to stay strong, be strong. I appreciate that about Paul. And Mary, as you said, as Paul goes into the future, it is going to be different. And so it says in verse 12, in the morning, there were some Jews that planned to kill Paul. So there was about 40 men made a promise or made a vow that they would not eat or drink until they kill Paul.
This was, again, very serious. And the plan was they were going to contact that commander the next day and ask him to call another meeting, and they would use that opportunity to kill Paul. But there was someone who heard of this plot, and that was a young man. In fact, it was Paul's nephew. Paul's nephew heard about that plot, and he was brave enough to go to the barracks where Paul was under arrest. He went and he asked to speak to the commander. I'm just trying to think, a young man and all of these soldiers, the Roman government and all of their power, he was really taking a big step for his Uncle Paul. And he went, he talked to these soldiers and said, I want to talk to the commander. And for whatever reason, they believed him and they took him to the commander.
Yeah, Uncle Paul. I don't hear that. I don't think I've ever heard that, but that's true.
Uncle Paul. I don't think I've ever said that, David. I just thought I'd throw that in there. That's his Uncle Paul.
But here is another little window into the life of Paul that here in Jerusalem, he has at least a sibling, either a brother or a sister. And that's significant. You know, earlier we learned that Paul, even though he was born in Cilicia in Tarsus, he spent so many years, his growing up years in Jerusalem, sitting at the feet of Gamaliel. So maybe the whole family lived there. So here, Paul, he had not been in Jerusalem for a long time, but yet he has family in Jerusalem.
So again, the commander, remember, this is the commander who has been trying to get to the bottom of this problem. Why does this Roman citizen, Paul, keep getting in trouble with the Jews? You know, he really wanted to know this. He needed to understand this. This was his job. So here comes a young man and says, hey, I've got some information. So he does listen to him and then takes what he says very seriously. So Paul's nephew tells the commander all about this plot and what's going to happen and how they were going to try to use the commander to ambush Paul. So the commander sends this young man on his way. He tells the young man, don't tell anybody. Just pausing a moment, that's a lot of trust, isn't it, that this commander gives this young man, says don't tell anyone. But the young man leaves and the commander then knows he has to do something about this situation. He can't wait until morning when the Jews have everything figured out how to kill Paul. He can't let his prisoner be killed by these Jews.
Mary, I think he may come to realization that this is beyond his ability or maybe the authority to deal with the situation. It seems like no matter which way he turns, Paul's life is in danger. So he decides to send Paul to where the seat of the Roman government was in this whole area. That's to Caesarea. And that's where the Roman governor Felix resides. And so he decides to send Paul to Felix.
Well, and not with a little expense. He's telling his soldiers to get 200 soldiers ready, also get 70 horsemen and 200 men with spears. Get horses for Paul to ride, set off at night, and basically get out of town. Even on today's terms, the idea of this many men, weapons, animals, transport, this is a big deal. He's going to a lot of trouble to protect Paul. And man, I see the hand of God in that. Here is the Roman government protecting Paul.
He can't just send Paul. He has to send a letter, official letters. From verse 26 through verse 30, his letter that he sent along with Paul to the governor Felix.
And it's really interesting. We learn the name of this commander. You don't always hear that when we read other Bible stories, but because of that letter, he's saying his name and then addressing Felix. So his name is Claudius. Claudius Lysias. That's the commander.
This letter that Claudius Lysias sends lays out the basic facts of the case that he knew. Now, he kind of twists things a bit to make himself look good, but he was trying to do the right thing. We don't know anything about Claudius, but I think he was trying to do the right things. So the soldiers and Paul left that night, and they made their way to Caesarea, which was the seat of Roman power in this whole area, and they turned Paul over to Felix. When Felix asked Paul where he was from, Cilicia, he said, well, okay, I won't hear your case until your accusers arrive.
So we conclude with Paul in prison, being protected by the Roman military. What an amazing thing. So just to recap what we've talked about in the episode, I thought I might share an outline. The first point would be, Paul appears before the Jewish council. That's Acts chapter 22, verse 30 through 23, verse 10. The second point, Jesus visits Paul. That one little verse, Acts chapter 23, verse 11. The third point, Paul's nephew reports a plot. And that's Acts 23, verses 12 through 22. And finally, the fourth and last point, the commander sends Paul to Governor Felix in Caesarea. And that's Acts 23, verse 23 through 35. So we leave Paul here in prison in Caesarea. David, when you're teaching adults this story, what kind of things would you talk about in your Bible class?
Well, we're introduced to the high priest at the beginning of our story, Ananias, and his actions here in the story are not very nice. I think it would add to the class if you had one or two people in the class to Google Ananias, the high priest, that was high priest at this time. I will put a Wikipedia website in the show notes so you can go to that link and just read what it says about Ananias, and you can bring that information and add that to the class when you're reading the story and talking about this story. Give some depth to this person, Ananias. So that's one thing I would do. And then, of course, there's questions that would be helpful. To begin the class, I think it would be interesting just to begin like this. Just ask the class, who was your favorite uncle and why? And let the class tell one another who their favorite uncle was. Another question that relates to the story here is, because the hero in the story is really this unnamed nephew of Paul. If you think about the children in your congregation, how are they being brave? And let them just think about that and then talk about that. And then just one more question. Was Paul showing a lack of faith in Jesus' promise when he sent his nephew to the Roman commander? Why or why not? So those are a few questions that I think would be good in a class. And Mary, what about you in a children's class? What will be helpful for children that they can learn from this story?
Well, this is one of those fairly rare Bible stories where there's a young person that's identified. So here's this young nephew, and in this case, he's very pivotal in the story. If it wasn't for this young man, what would have happened? He went on to warn the commander, and all of these things happened. It saved Paul's life. So this is an opportunity to allow children to relate. What would they have done in this situation? What if they heard that their uncle was going to be killed? Would they be brave enough to go and talk to the commander? This is a great way to relate. And getting children talking about that, being brave to do something, even if it's scary, and talking about what I can do as a young person. In 1 Timothy chapter 4:12, there's a verse that I think is a great memory verse. It's kind of long, but it's good. Paul later writes this to a young Timothy. This is what he says. You're young, but do not let anyone treat you as if you are not important. Be an example to show the believers how they should live. Show them with your words, with the way you live, with your love, with your faith, and with your pure life. That's 1 Timothy 4:12. I'm going to try to explain this. I think this is one of those verses that you can draw. If you have a blank piece of paper and draw a figure of a young person, stick figure, whatever, and then draw lines out from that person with little speech bubbles. And in each speech bubble, write these different ways that this young person can show that they are Christians, show people how to live. One speech bubble might have with our words, another one, how we live, another with our love, another with our faith and with our pure life. So use that as a talking point. So the kids can draw that or you can draw that. What are some words that we can say, even as a young person, to help people know God? And how can the way we live help people know God? Just talking through some of those scenarios with children. I think that's a great way to take a verse and present it in a different way by drawing it and drawing out literally that conversation. There are heroes that are recognized in our world that are children. And I did a little Google search, David, right before this episode, and I found like a list of children who are heroes that have been recognized as heroes, even globally. There's a child that has led an anti-bullying campaign that's become a worldwide event. climate change, education. There's a child that started a movement to provide shoes to children who needed shoes. I mean, there are some heroes even today, but you could find things in your local news, ways that children have helped people, even saved lives sometimes. Sometimes they can call emergency services when somebody's having some kind of medical emergency. So there's a lot of ways that children actually have been heroes even recently in your community, I would imagine. So those would be good to bring up. But I think in a children's class, what I really want them to understand is they don't have to wait until they're adults to help and to do the right thing. Even as children, they can really make a difference in their world. As long as they are following God and doing the right thing, they can help, even as children. I want them to know that. As teachers, I think it's just so important that we read the scripture, understand what it's saying, help the children be part of that, but then go on to help them discover ways they can actually live out the Word of God. And that's the kind of teacher I want to be, David.
And that's the kind of teacher I want to be, Mary. And may God bless you as you speak into the lives of adults and children.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Glitter and Glue podcast. Subscribe now to listen to new weekly episodes and visit missionbibleclass.org for more free resources to help you share God's Word with children.